from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hi, Bill DeYoung here. Welcome once again to the Catalyst Sessions. I am so proud to introduce you to Hueda Afan. And I told her I'd pronounce her name right, so I had to look, and it's not imprinted on my brain yet, but Hueda Afan is the executive director of the Morin Arts Center and a pivotal figure on the art scene here in St. Petersburg. And she's right here with us. Hello there.
Hello, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm so happy to be able to talk about the Morin because there's so much going on there. And how long has it been since you reopened?
We reopened on May 21st. We all our four venues have resumed operation on May 21st.
Well, I should point out to folks that the Morin Arts Center is the longest lived art institution in the city of St. Petersburg. 1917 it was founded as the Art Club of St. Petersburg, and gone through a lot of changes over the years. But tell me about the different galleries and things that you have. You mentioned that there are several, so let's go through them.
Yeah, so as you mentioned that it began as the Art Club of St. Petersburg back in 1917, and really has seen different reiterations over the years. But the important thing is that as the St. Pete community has evolved, so has the Morin over the years. Mm-hmm. We now operate four different venues. We have our Center for Clay, which is about a mile and a quarter in the Warehouse Arts District, a mile and a quarter away from the main building. We have the Chiuli Collection across the street from the main building on Central Avenue. And we have our hot shop that's right next to our main building. So yeah, different things going on, lots of excitement, and a lot of art and art inspiration and creativity going on.
Well, one of the things I think that, it's kind of a no-brainer that makes the Morin so special amongst, you know, galleries, et cetera, in the city is that there's always been a focus on community, on process, and here's how you do it, as opposed to come and look at it. You mentioned the hot shop, which is glass. And didn't I read that it just sort of reopened for demos yesterday?
Yes. So now we have observational demos that we were able to resume after we reopened. Mm-hmm. We, of course, had to make sure that we're providing a safe environment for our patrons when they come in. It was open for retail only, but now people are able to get the full experience of their Chiuli Collection visit by walking over to the hot shop and experiencing glass as it's the process of making blown glass.
Do you think that that's a, you know, that's an essential part of the glass experience, seeing how the sausage is made, as it were? I mean, for someone to, wow, how did, in the case of Chiuli, who we're going to talk about, but glass artists in general, that's how they do it. Man, that looks really hard. I mean, do people get a real thrill out of watching that?
Yeah, it's definitely fascinating. And you should see how it is with school field trips, which, you know, are not operating now. But normally, it's really, really fascinating to see how children especially react to that experience.
Can we talk about, let's talk about the Chiuli Collection. I have a picture that if, with my technological, I'm not very good at this, but I'm going to bring this up.
Okay.
Talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I always get to this point where I'm going, oh, okay. Amazing, absolutely amazing stuff. And I, as someone who hasn't lived in St. Petersburg that long, I was born here but went away, it's a long story, I don't know how Dale Chiuli's stuff got here, and it's something I really want to know. Can you give me a history of how this beautiful collection arrived in St. Pete, and why? And why it's part of the Morin? Yeah.
Sure. Back in around 2004, mm-hmm. there was an exhibition at the Museum of Fine Arts in St. Pete. It was a collaboration between the MFA St. Pete and the Orlando Museum of Art. And it was an exhibition of Dale Chihuly's work. At the time, the Morian did the educational component of the show, which is just the glass blowing using a mobile glass studio. Our benefactor, Beth Morian, she knew Dale, and she and other board members were instrumental in bringing the collection to St. Petersburg. And of course, education is very important to Dale and children's education in particular. And leveraging the educational value of the Chihuly collection is definitely one of the Morian's educational strategic goals that we strive for. The Morian, of course, recognized the importance of this collection to the city and the future in this wonderful city. And Dale understood the position that the Morian holds with its 100 plus year history. At the time, it was 90 years. The position that the Morian holds within the artistic landscape of the city.
So it's been there for 10 years now.
Yes, so this month we actually celebrate the 10th anniversary of the collection. And we are excited to celebrate this pivotal moment in the history of the city. So we're offering $10 for 10 years, discounted admission to the public, just to celebrate this community that, you know, understands the importance of the collection to this wonderful city and continues to support the collection.
Now, this is a world-class collection by a key artist, if not the key contemporary artist working in glass today. It's kind of a feather in St. Petersburg's cap. Do you feel like this is kind of the Morian's, the jewel in the crown? Like, yeah, we're a great place, but we have the Chihuly collection. Wink, wink. It's pretty special.
As you mentioned earlier, I mean, really, the Morian has been an anchor in the city for more than 100 years. This remarkable collection has largely, we like to say that it has largely contributed to the idea of St. Pete as a city of the arts. For St. Petersburg to have one of only a relatively small number of venues worldwide that continuously exhibit Dale's work, and the collection being a first installation in a space designed specifically for it.
Yeah.
It's something that we're proud of. And as you know, Dale Chihuly really has revolutionized the studio glass movement. And to combine that acclaim with the large number of galleries, museums, studios, artists that were dedicated to glass, that really elevates glass art in the city. And of course, you know, the building in the new location that it has moved to back in 2017 has become an icon in St. Pete and on Central.
Yes, absolutely. And it's the whole idea of St. Pete as an arts destination city, which is something we talk about a lot on this program with people. This is a cornerstone of it, you know, and that's what, when one reads about, well, what's going on as far as art in St. Petersburg, you know, it's usually the Chihuly, the Dali, and maybe the MFA and the Imagine Museum. The Glass Coast, right, is something that Duncan McClellan and I were just talking about, you know.
Yeah.
And you're certainly a cornerstone of that. I did want to talk to you about the Morian Center for Clay because, as you say, it's off campus a bit. Tell us about it.
Well, it's built on an old train station. It's an old that was renovated into studio spaces for our studio members. We have over more than 50 artists who, you know, call that their studio space, and it's really wonderful. It's a very communal environment there, and it's considered the third one of the top potteries in the U.S. and, you know, the largest in the Southeast. So we're very proud of that. We run a very successful artist-in-residence program there. We welcome about six artists-in-residence who come from all over the U.S. and sometimes from outside of the U.S. And they're they come because they know the caliber and the type of training that they're going to be getting throughout their residency there.
Why is education and training so key to what the morning does? You know, as we were talking about the idea of process, it's such a key component to what you are. Why is that? I mean, can you articulate that?
So art in itself is very, very important because it transcends geographic boundaries. It speaks to what makes us human and what divides us and what, you know, connects us as human beings. And that impulse to create is really something that has always been across time and geographic boundaries. So when we talk about our dedication from our mission, our dedication to connecting people with art, you can't connect people with art without including the impulse and the creativity side of it at how it was created. Yeah. So that is a big component of what we try to do.
Well, the summer camps are going on now, right? I mean, I know the classes and stuff are kind of postponed until school's back in, but the summer camps are going on now. So we're starting young, is what I'm saying. You encourage children, you bring children in. What kind of training goes on in the summer camps? What's that all about?
Well, it's throughout the whole summer. And of course, this year we made some adjustments as far as, you know, class sizes and things like that. But children learn from, you know, animation. We offer animation classes to teens all the way to, you know, clay classes to young kids. It's all different mediums and really... it's amazing. If you look, if you head over to our website and look at the types of projects that kids work on, it's really, really wonderful. And this is how you nurture that talent at a very, very early age and appreciation of the art, you know, from that.
What did the first wave of COVID, we're in the middle of it now, but how long were you closed on, and how badly did it affect you and you know, the work that you do over there?
Okay, well, you know, in our 100 plus year history, the Morian has always been a resilient organization. We learned early on, of course, we shut down in the middle of March. We wanted to find a balance between our survival today and our success tomorrow. So we rapidly determined what matters most, focusing on the big picture and our strategic goal and continuing to offer that, delivering on our mission of connecting people with art. We are very proud to have kept our team intact without any layoffs. And
oh, yeah, you're right.
And we really have some successes that we've seen, you know, during this difficult time. We've continued, of course, you know, after we reopened, we were able to reopen our spaces and provide that calm and safe environment for our visitors. And we continued, when we were closed, we continued our commitment to our local instructors, artists, and art instructors. And the shutdown really had expedited our accessibility initiatives. We had spent the whole year last year thinking about how we can put a lot of emphasis into accessibility and the inclusive approach to access, but the pandemic just forced us to create new and exciting range of experiences. Uh-huh. And in last year, we served about 120,000 visitors. This year, we're continuing to to do that, a smaller number of visitors physically, but with much larger virtual numbers. And we saw, you know, our online footprint, our online classes that we're offering, we're seeing huge engagement, and we've increased our numbers, their online numbers, by leaps and bounds during this crisis.
So. Well, I do want to ask you the virtual program that you did. Can you describe that? I think it's still up, isn't it? I mean, during those months where you can't come in here, let's reach out. And yeah, can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so we understand that there are, you know, not everybody is willing to be out and come into the classrooms physically, which, you know, our classes are actually going to start, our summer two session starts next week. Uh-huh. So we're continuing to offer the online options, and we have about 7 or 9 classes that are offered online now, so people can go in and look at those and see what sort of mediums they would want to work with.
Okay, I have another picture. Here it comes. Boom. This, look, watch how fast this comes up.
Oh.
This is Barry Goodman's exhibition. Are we there yet? And I haven't been in to see this, but this picture is drawing me. I'm coming down. Tell me about this. Tell me about him and what this exhibition consists of. I love this thing, by the way. That's what
it's wonderful. It really is. So part of our Murian members show, which is a very popular show that opened this past Saturday, Barry Goodman was the winner of our Best in Show for the members show last year. So this year he has his solo show, and there's another one also. We have 2 solo shows going on. One of them is Barry's, and Barry explores the classical American cars and road trips, which is really, you know, very, it fits very neatly with what's going on now. So it's a wonderful exhibition. I won't give much away, but.
I love this sedan with the one door painted green here. This it's very America.
Yes. And if you actually walk around it, you can see the details of each inside each car and all the different, I'm not going to give it away, but all the different things you see inside the car that normally would be on a road trip.
Well, who is Barry? I mean, I'm just fascinated. This photograph is now all I know of this exhibit. I know you don't want to give too much away, but who is he? I mean, is this like the tourist Florida family vacation memorial? That's what I'm seeing. It's like family trips and sitting in the back seat of the car, which I think a lot of us can relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it is. Barry is one of our wonderful instructors that we have at the Murian. We value very much, and he does great work. He teaches classes at the Murian as well. So yeah.
What is this made of? What are these cars made of?
These are paper mache.
The detail is incredible.
It's wonderful.
It must have been fun to paint. So listen, I wanted to ask you, Hoida, about your background. I don't know how long you've been here as the executive director, and what was your journey getting here? What was that like?
Well, I have been with the Murian exactly for 1 year and 4 months. I started in March of 2019, and the pandemic hit exactly at my 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, so when you and I spoke about that big ink exhibit,
yes, we did last year,
and so you were probably just a few months in then. I think that was
the
time we talked. Yeah,
that's true. Yes.
So where had you been before that?
So I came from a museum background. I got my graduate degree from Boston in museum studies, and worked at a museum in the Boston area before I moved to Florida. And I was in Jacksonville for a couple of years. I worked at the Museum of Science and History there, and then moved to this wonderful city.
So Florida wasn't that much of a culture shock. Yeah, I ask this because so many folks that I speak to, you know, well, we were in Boston, or we were in LA, or we were somewhere across the pond or something, and Florida is total culture shock to them. But you were in Jacksonville already.
I was in Jacksonville. So my introduction introduction to Florida happened before I moved here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your impressions of St. Pete now that you've been here for a while. How do you like us, I guess, is the real dopey question there. What do you think of St. Pete?
It's it's a wonderful, vibrant city. Everything that I had missed, from Boston is here in St. Pete. So it's a wonderful, wonderful arts community. It's full of, it's very amazing. There's so many amazing people in this community, and just having the opportunity to work alongside such great arts organizations has been really an incredible experience. It's a wonderful arts community, which includes, people who work in the arts, as well as also all the people who are invested in and are supportive of the work of the arts community.
What a perfect storm, isn't it? It really is. Yeah. Well, in a broad overall sense, and we're getting near the end of our time, so this is probably my last question. In your view, how does the Morin fit within the jigsaw puzzle of all the various galleries, arts organizations here? You serve a very specific purpose, which is kind of how I started this conversation. It seems to slot in very nicely alongside the galleries, and it just makes the experience that much richer for our city.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, our strength is education, and that is something that it's the feather on our cap, and it's really something that we're very proud of. And even within the realm and the context of this pandemic and the difficult times that, the whole world is going through now, we realize that the changes that we make today will definitely strengthen the Morin for the future. This community has invested so much into the success of the Morin. They want us to continue to be a vibrant organization. We know that this pandemic is temporary and that the changes we make today may be permanent. But throughout this whole process and this whole time that we're difficult times that we were going through, we really want to continue to deliver on our mission of connecting people with art. So it's wonderful. We had right prior to the pandemic, similar to all other arts organizations that are there, we were seeing an upward trajectory that was going very fast, and we were very happy with that. And we saw huge increases in awareness and, all our four venues. But today we are happy that, as much as we've increased our online footprint, which we didn't know what's going to happen, but we're looking forward to serving as many people virtually than as we did, physically in our locations. Yeah.
Well, people keep saying, we're all going to learn and adapt from this experience and make the experience ultimately more rich for people, virtually and, in person when that returns to full strength. I cannot thank you enough for joining us today, and I wish you continued success.
Thank you so much.
And let's remind folks what the Morin's website is, where you can go for all this information.
It's morinartcenter.org.
.org. One of these days I'm going to understand the difference between .org, .com, and this. But today is not that day, as they say. Hueda Afan, the Morin Arts Center, thank you very, very much for joining us today.
From stpetecatalyst.com.